Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and of course ESPN News presented by Progressive Insurance. You can join us on the Shell Penzoil Performance Line. Myles Garrett has been reinstated into the NFL. The question is, what should his suspension have been? You can call us 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. We'll get more of your take from Twitter and from calls in just a minute, but we want to get to some Straight Talk brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that comes from the New York Knicks. Now, let's remember yesterday, Steve Stout, the New York Knicks brand consultant, has just made one of his first stops yesterday as the Knicks' new branding consultant was on First Take. And he explained with First Take what his role and goals for the franchise would be when he said this.
They got some young superstars. You see R.J. Barrett, Mitch Robinson. They got something to work with. And getting a coach in there. Ultimately getting a coach and a coaching staff that's going to help develop the team. That's what I expect to happen so that we can actually get to what you expect from a New York team.
To an immediate reply, only hours after the appearance, the Knicks put out a comment saying, quote, a statement, I should say, while Steve Stout is a valued contributor to the New York Knicks marketing and branding efforts, he does not speak on behalf of the Knicks personnel and basketball operations. Any decision regarding the operations of this team will be made by the new president of the New York Knicks. So to recap, you've got the person out there that's in charge of branding and marketing coming out and saying things that the Knicks say he wasn't supposed to be saying. So he also made a statement that said, quote, in my excitement to defend the Knicks on live TV today, I inadvertently insinuated about Knicks personnel. I look forward to working with the Knicks management to elevate the great Knicks brand moving forward. Now, obviously, you know that Stephen A., when anything happens with the Knicks, is going to have something to say about this. Stephen A. and Max were fired up about this misstep by Stephen Stout.
He was, and I think he realizes that because when he spoke about the coach, you know, remember I brought up Mark Jackson and talking about how you needed a voice, et cetera, et cetera. I didn't anticipate that he would elaborate on that. So he recognizes that he didn't mean to sit up there and throw Coach Miller under the bus, per se. But you know what? Listen, at the end of the day, we all know what time it is. And Miller's there on an interim basis. There will be a new coach in the New York Knicks organization next season. Stout may not have, you know, he should not have spoken on that, but damn it, I would have, because it's obvious that that is exactly what's going to happen. And if it's a secret in the eyes of Dolan, it's the worst kept secret in the modern American era. As far as I'm concerned, there will be a new coach in New York City for the Knicks next season, and it will not be Coach Miller. Miller needs to plan on that accordingly and make his necessary plans. Number two, I think the New York Knicks as an organization has proven once again to be pathetic because they were quick to highlight what Steve Stout's role is not, reacting to public perception. Once again, this is the one thing that James Dolan simply has not captured. He has not realized this. When people look at Oakley, as Max religiously points to, when people look at him throwing a fan out, when people look at him reacting to the boos and ultimately deciding to get rid of Steve Mills because of chance of Dolan and how he should sell the team. Once again, it gives the perception that you are reacting to public pressure and public perception all the damn time. And you simply can't come along or come across as being that way when you're the man for the New York Knicks. And if James Dolan is true to form, Steve Stout could be in a world of trouble simply because in James Dolan's eyes, if you felt the need to release that statement, Max, as a, you know, on behalf of the New York Knicks, to highlight what Steve Stout's role will not be and is not within the organization. If you know anything about James Dolan, he's ticked off. He's not happy right now. And usually when he gets that way, you know, bodies fall. Somebody, you know, figuratively speaking, heads roll. That's the way it goes in the Dolan era. Or that's the way it has gone. And so who knows? We've got to keep our eyes on Steve Stout to see what role, if any, he will play in the Knicks organization moving forward. Clearly, whether it's Leon Rose, who's still trying to negotiate and work out a deal, or somebody else, but I believe it'll be Leon Rose. Or, you know, the bottom line is that they're going to be the ones that make the decision about who the coach, who the head coach is, who the next GM is, et cetera, et cetera. But we all know it's going to be done by committee. We all know it's not going to be one person that's going to make all of these decisions. So it's no secret there. It's just that Steve Stout and his zest, his excitement, et cetera, et cetera, speaking about being that marketing, branding guy for the New York Knicks and having a say, you know, when it came to the coach, he spoke out of turn, and that's what really riled Dolan up, from my understanding. He was really uncomfortable with what Steve Stout had to say about there possibly needing to be a new coach.
Dolan. First of all, was Steve Stout out of pocket? Look, his main mistake was he came on this show thinking he was going to spin us. First Take is not that show. Trust me. Like, if you, he came out talking about, the Knicks are the number one brand in basketball. No, no, no. So I had to check that because it's not even close. The Knicks are the most valuable franchise. They're the most valuable franchise in basketball, mainly because it's a, most teams are real estate deals, and New York has the most expensive real estate. And TV con, in terms of TV money, it's by far the biggest local market. But the New York Knicks are not the number one brand in basketball. That's the Los Angeles Lakers, and there are many other teams before the Knicks. So he spun that. Even when he tried to say Mitch Robinson and R.J. Barrett were superstars, there wasn't even enough time to check all the spin. Of course, they're not superstars. I like Robinson. He's a nice player.
I didn't even hear that line, Max. RJ, I missed that one. Yeah. I didn't even remember hearing that.
R.J. Barrett is a potentially really good player, but I don't see any even potential superstars on this team. So, like, that was really his mistake, was coming on and trying to spin us. That's not going to work. Now, what you're seeing now from the Knicks, and you just hit on it, Stephen A., is the reason they will not have success while Dolan owns the team. What do I always say? A fish rots how? From the head down. And what we have here is a rotten fish, and it starts with the head. James Dolan wants to live, in my opinion, in a bubble where he can live out his fantasies. That's why he pays rock bands so he can open for them. You don't get there on your merit. You have to pay to open for a band. So these people, these poor people who pay good money to watch actually successful bands are subjected to him, you know, on the card. Come on, man. That's one. You see that in other ways, too. He gets some bad media. Heads must roll at the Garden. He starts to rat, you know, because his cage is rattled. Charles Oakley doesn't like the fact that he owns the team, so he escorts him from the Garden. A fan has a sign, sell the team. Dolan, since he had him removed, saying, well, he disturbed our fan policy. He violated fan policy. He was disturbing people. Nah, Jim, he wasn't disturbing anyone. He was fine. He didn't violate any policy. He just said he wants you to sell the team because you're a terrible owner. It's the same reason why it was suspected and widely reported that he had a burner account. One of the tweets on that account was saying how Jim Dolan is the person everyone wishes he could be. Well, the reason, among the reasons people suspect, I'm sure, that that's a burner account is because no one thinks that except Jim Dolan. And I find it, frankly, sad if the case is that was his burner account. There's no way to know that. But I would find it sad that someone would feel the need to say that on a burner account because no one else is saying it except the toadies who you pay. You know, you can't buy respect. He is not respected. Mm-hmm. He's rich.
Well,
he is feared by people in his organization because he controls their financial futures. But he's not respected, and that's what bothers Jim Dolan, in my opinion.
He's He's definitely feared by some, obviously. There is a lack of respect. There is no denying that. And the bottom line is this. Here's the reality of the situation. And this is what Dolan missed with his public statement. As long as you remind people of the perception that they already have, that it is you, Dolan, who is making management decisions, branding doesn't matter. It doesn't matter at all because everybody's going to be looking at you. The whole purpose of Steve Stout's existence was to give the impression, at least, that somebody other than you would take over the imagery of the New York Knicks, and then ultimately basketball people would come in the mix and we would handle things that way. That was the perception. Steve, you got to remember, and in fairness and in the interest of full disclosure, listen, Steve Stout wanted to come on. Steve Stout asked to come on First Take. That's why he was on there, because obviously he's a music mogul. You know, he's a brand and marketing dude. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't synonymous with basketball. He might have done some things, but we didn't know about it, but he wanted to come on First Take. That's what he wanted to do. In the end, what it comes down to is this. As a Knick fan, which he says he is, me knowing who I am, knowing who you once were before you betrayed us all and went to the Los Angeles Lakers, Max, let's understand something here. When we look at when us as New York Knicks fans, speaking for myself, we know how how desolate this situation is, how bad and destitute it really, really is. It's just an embarrassment of epic proportions.
Stephen A.,
so if Leon Rose could come in there and change it, if he could get William Wesley, Worldwide West up in there, if they could get Kiki Vandeway, John Calipari, Rod Strickland, I don't give a damn who it is. Well, whoever could get players, get them. But in the end, still in all, what it's going to come down to is this. As long as Dolan still has this insatiable appetite to react to public perception as quickly and as petulantly as he does, you're going to hear the same stuff.
Stephen A.
It's just inescapable.
First take, your take on ESPN News, ESPN Radio, Jason Fitz. Is it? I mean, if they drafted Zion, are we still saying that? I mean, they got unlucky in the lottery. Let's acknowledge the fact that they got unlucky, but players fix everything. That's all I'm saying. Tweet me at Jason Fitz. Again, Myles Garrett's suspension has been lifted. He's now back with the Browns. It's going to mean a lot to the Browns on the field. The question is, what should Myles Garrett's suspension have been? You can also call 888-SAY-ESPN 888-729-3776. Give us a straight talk wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. And getting a lot of tweets on it. Pop, this is a popular opinion. Pop coming in saying Myles Garrett can't swing his helmet. That said, Mason Rudolph was flat out wrong. He started the fight by trying to rip off Garrett's helmet. I believe Miles when he says Rudolph called him a racial slur. Rudolph should have gotten more than one game. Rudolph didn't get a game. He got $50,000. I'll double check that, but I'm pretty sure. In the meantime, again, the NFL investigated all of that. So that's already sort of been adjudicated. I'm not sure that I can go back and re-adjudicate that. So Wombat came out and said, I agree with the suspension. Rest of last year sufficient. Just happened to be six games. What I really love on Twitter is the amount of you guys that have found out of this a conspiracy theory, which I love. We've even got some tweets that are coming in saying, Cliff said MLB asked NFL to do it now, so we won't talk about the Astros. I'm in for a good conspiracy theory. That's spectacular work by then. Floyd says the suspension was more than enough, especially with Mason getting a slap on the wrist. But Bambino to Great says 10 to 16 games for Garrett, period. So not a consensus opinion. George in Tampa, what should Myles Garrett's suspension have been?
Hey, so I actually agree with Stephen A. in that they should probably do the season opener as well, but I don't think it should be from the NFL standpoint. I think it should be from the Cleveland Browns so that, you know, for posterity reasons, so they can, you know, set the standard and show that it's unacceptable to weaponize the helmet on the.
And that's an interesting question of if the Browns could or should. I'm not sure collectively bargained. I'm not sure they could do something above and beyond what the league has already done. I don't know the answer to that, but should they? I mean, my God, he had 10 sacks before he was kicked out for the rest of the season, right? And the Browns coming off of a disappointing season. I'm not sure that the Browns as an organization care as much about that stance as they do about, you know, I don't know, trying to make the playoffs. So, you know, Tom echoes the sentiment, at least a full season to make sure everyone understands the penalty for using a weapon. So, we are starting to get a little bit more sentiment at this point for longer. Derek says not long enough. Would have liked at least 10 games, especially if you take into account all of his other antics last season. Seems like the initial outrage is gone. Well, that's just the way the world works. I mean, initial outrage has faded. I still have outrage to weaponizing your helmet. I don't care what happens there. Ultimately, I want the stiffest penalty they can possibly give so it sends a message not just to Myles Garrett, but to the rest of the NFL that says, hey, you do this and it is so severe. Same thing I've said about cheating in Major League Baseball. The way that you stop these things is with penalty. First Take Your Take brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Teddy Bruschi joined the panel with Max and Stephen A. to talk about the surprising timing of the reinstatement and if Myles Garrett got enough suspension from the NFL.
If I'm Myles Garrett, I'm thanking my lucky stars that it only ended up being a 6-game suspension. I look at it and I was thinking 8 games. I didn't think any type of full season bans or elimination from the league, anything like that. That was an overreaction, but I thought this might have been an 8-game suspension. So I would have said add 2 on top of it. And then, you know, the word indefinite is strong. I know he's had to live with that for a little while, but, did this suspension depend on when it happened during the season? If this was week 6, would he have played again last season and would it have been 10? You know, or week 8, it would have been 8, you know, but you got to establish some type of consistency if this happens again. And it's an emotional game. And I understand what happened to Myles Garrett and how he went crazy and how he's in a situation where you got a helmet and you lose control and you swing it. It can happen again is what I'm trying to say. So when it does happen again, you know, you've got this to look back on it. And in totality, all it's been for Myles Garrett is a 6-game suspension when I think a standard of 8 for people to look at would have been better for the league moving forward.
That's actually the best argument I've heard is that you're being sensitive to the fact that someone can lose impulse control in a moment, because when they're angry, if the other guy's helmet is off, especially if the other guy is pursuing them, you don't think about what you just want to get them. So because it may happen again, a stiffer suspension is important because you need this as a reference point. The league needs to be able to point back to it. Look, we did what we could. But Teddy, my basic point of view is he wasn't hurt by the swinging of the helmet, whatever may have happened. Mason Rudolph started the fight, escalated the fight by grabbing the helmet, got his helmet taken away instead, and he didn't have to chase Myles Garrett, who was being restrained by 2 of his teammates. If he was 10 yards away, Garrett could have done this all he wanted, wasn't going to hit anything. So it's like everyone is focusing on bad Myles Garrett, and he lost control, he deserves a suspension, but it feels out of proportion to me.
And the NFL is all about images, Max. It's about what we saw, what the youth of America saw, what the fans saw, and the image of that swing is basically what they're talking about here. They're not talking about what happened, because all it is, you know, it's a fight and things escalate. And to a point, you are correct, Max, absolutely. But the swinging of the helmet is something and an image that must be dealt with seriously.
At a helmetless player, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Teddy, what are your thoughts about my position that, you know, I suppose you said 8 games. I'm thinking 7, just the season opener, only for the sole express purpose of using it as a reminder. We did not forget what happened last year. We want you all to remember what happened this year, because if you do it, the penalty will be even more severe. I think that's the kind of impetus that needs to be, or the motivation that needs to be behind the decision to make a suspension go into next season, because the Browns didn't make the playoffs. Out of the mind's eye, we've been celebrating football. We come back and you on the field like nothing happened. No, I don't think that's the right message to send.
I agree with you, because what the point is now with that, you say 7, 8. Okay, just make it 7. I'm with you there, just so there's a little bit of a reminder to the players that this can happen again. Sure, because now that there's not, there's a reminder to the players where if I go to the commissioner and show contrition, you know, that things can be better. You know, because you have a meeting with the commissioner, you know, you express remorse, you do all the right things, and the commissioner will be lenient, rather than knowing if you do that, this is what's going to happen. So this opens up inconsistencies, which is something that there have been a lot of debates about with the NFL and how they've handled things in the past. And now it's just another example to where something like this happens again. And then now it's all about debate. Is it about 6 games? What does indefinite truly mean? Does it mean you finish the season and then you have a meeting? Or maybe if it's a few games, it's 6 games, then I go to the commissioner and tell him how sorry I am and he lets me back in the league.
People acting like 6 games is not a lot. 6 games is a huge
percentage
of the season.
Yes.
I know.
Yes.
You say 8 because it's half the season.
But it was last season.
Stephen, as I said,
season.
I think you have an interesting idea there. Mainly, your point is that it'll remind people when the season starts. Remember what happened? That's a good point. And also, he would have been suspended for the playoffs. they didn't make the playoffs. So you could argue that he kind of got off a little lighter in a sense because he didn't have to miss those games, though you're not paid the same for those games.
That's true.
I understand the point. I thought six games was plenty in this case.
First, take your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. And look, we're getting several tweets to the point of what Stephen A. just said. Grant said, I believe six games is plenty. The reason they don't want to have him suspended for any games next year is because the NFL doesn't want us talking about it, and that's why the announcement came. So maybe it's right. Maybe that is the right thought. Give us your take. First, take your take. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776, as we continue to get your take on what you think the proper suspension should have been for Myles Garrett. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. In the meantime, that's not the only NFL news that was coming out, as Dak Prescott's contract conversation continues to be a hot source of debate. First Take debated today who would be the best option to replace Dak. You can hear some of that and some of the surprising thoughts from there. After this, let's first talk about Daniel. A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do, get into information technology. Daniel enrolled in My Computer Career. Now he's a few months into his IT career already. Make 2020 your year. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus or live online just two times a week. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career, mycomputercareer.edu. Who'd be the best option to replace Dak? Some surprising thoughts on it you'll hear next. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80, and ESPN News. Jason Fitz, we're presented by Progressive Insurance with more than 30 unique coverage options. I want you guys to chime in on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Myles Garrett has now been brought back into the NFL fold. His suspension is over. What should Myles Garrett's suspension have been? Gotten a lot of tweets on this that I love. We'll read some of those. But first, I want to get your take from Theo in Missouri. Theo, what should Myles Garrett's suspension have been?
Hey, it should have been longer. It's real simple, and I'll explain it this way. You need to throw the names, what the other guy did, all that other stuff into the trash. Just throw it in the trash. It doesn't matter. The incident itself was a player taking his helmet and using it as a weapon against another player. Whether it was his helmet or the other guy's helmet, doesn't matter. It's using that helmet as a weapon. At that point, the NFL had a chance to say, hey, we need to set the bar on this particular type of activity and say, I want it so high that everybody thinks about, no, I ain't going to do that. That's just too much punishment. And how do we know it's not enough punishment? Simple. Did the player go to arbitration to say, what? I got too much time. I shouldn't have been penalized that much. I want my back pay. He didn't say anything, which means the punishment was light.
And Theo, thanks for the call. I love the mindset on it. And you did say one thing, too, that I'm not big on whataboutism, but in this situation, precedent has now been set. So I only ask the NFL this. If a player arbitrarily gets very mad at the end of the game, no matter the reason, and decides to do the exact same thing to Drew Brees or Tom Brady, is it only going to be a six-game suspension? I think we all know the answer to that. In the meantime, I want you guys to keep giving us your thoughts. John on Twitter, by the way, bigger picture, should the NFL and PA collectively bargain a standard punishment menu? You violate a rule, here's your punishment. Yes, I think they should, and I wouldn't be surprised if that's a big conversation in the next CBA, which is coming right around the corner. We're brought to you by McDonald's Quarter Pounder with Cheese, made with 100% fresh beef. It's the hottest, juiciest Quarter Pounder yet, only at McDonald's. Now, what we know is that Dak Prescott right now is not, he has no long-term contract with the Cowboys. We don't know what the future is going to be with him there. I still think the deal is going to get done. But every day that the deal doesn't get done, we start to have a bigger question about who should replace Dak in Dallas. Teddy Bruschi joined Stephen A. and Max, and they had that debate.
Tom Brady, that's what I would say. Now, let me be very, very clear about where I'm going with this. I believe the Dallas Cowboys should take care of Dak Prescott. I think they should pay him. I think they should give him a long-term deal. I don't think he deserves to be franchised. 4 years, never has missed a start, has been a model of consistency in terms of being a leader, being available, being reliable, being trustworthy. He's only failed to complete less than 65% of his passes in one of the four seasons. He's taken them to the postseason twice. This dude, as far as I'm concerned, has proven that he deserves the long-term long-term deal from the Dallas Cowboys, they should take care of him. Having said all of that, if we want to engage in hypotheticals here and imagine life without Dak Prescott, I'm taking one season at a time if I'm Dallas. Why? Because Jerry Jones. That's why. He's 77 years old. If I remember correctly, my buddy, Jerry Jones, 77 years of age. He has already acknowledged his own mortality. Time is running out. The priority is to get yourself a Super Bowl, not to build for the long term. 4, 5, 6 years down the road, tomorrow is not guaranteed to this man. He said it, I did it. And if I'm looking at it from that perspective, a six-time champion, even at age 42, why does that matter? I already got a number one in Amari Cooper. Michael Gallup is no scrub. Last time I checked, Ezekiel Elliott is an elite running back in the sport of football. The offensive line is considered elite or pretty damn close to it because I think they've scaled off a little bit in the past couple of years. The bottom line is that you're talking about an experienced quarterback who knows how to minimize mistakes. At age 42, we call it a bad year. 24 touchdowns, just 8 interceptions, completed 60% of his passes. We know he could do better, but still passed for 4,000 yards with the being bereft of weapons with the New England Patriots because Bill Belichick didn't get him enough help. I'd say Tom Brady for 1 year. Doesn't bother me at all.
I have a different answer. Now, look, if you don't pay Dak Prescott, I understand why. It's the same reason you probably shouldn't have paid Jared Goff. It's the same reason I'm down on Carson Wentz. Not that Carson Wentz isn't potentially a top five quarterback, but he didn't play it like it this year. He did not play like, and when you pay a quarterback just because he's the next man up, as though he's a top five player and he doesn't perform, you wind up in trouble. So if that's what they're saying about Dak, you think maybe you could be a top five quarterback one day, but today's not the day. You're not there yet. And they truly moved on from him. I'll give you a guy who, when he was given a chance, was ascending. A 50 QBR means you're an average quarterback. His first year, he's almost 55. His second year, he was almost 58, and then he got hurt. But last year, he was almost 50. Remember, he was ascending up towards, you know, but he's shown throughout his career, he's at minimum a solid starting quarterback, if not a franchise quarterback. He had 9 touchdowns against 2 interceptions this year. He was 5-0, and his name is Teddy Bridgewater. Ooh. Bridgewater is a guy who, for some reason, the league overlooks. Bridgewater is, listen, we spoke to Coach. We know that they're thinking about Taysom Hill and Drew Brees. They can't afford everybody. If you don't think your guy is elite and you don't want to overpay for a quarterback, but you want a bona fide NFL starter, a guy who's now, 22-12 as a starting quarterback in his career, and you might say, well, yeah, he's just asked not to lose the game, you know, game manage this and that. Well, the Cowboys maybe only need a guy like that to win. He went 5-0 last year. If you don't want to pay a guy who's not truly elite as though he's elite, if you want to pay a mid-market price for, by the way, a guy who may still be ascending, a guy who's at least a starter but really has showed maybe he's a franchise guy, Teddy Bridgewater, who's going to be 28 years old next year.
Yeah, okay, so, I mean, if you're talking worst-case scenario for the Dallas Cowboys, it would be you lose Dak Prescott and he's no longer there. And Stephen A., I hear what you're saying with Brady and Teddy Bridgewater. You got an offensive line like that. Phillip Rivers just said he still wants to play. He's out of Los Angeles. He'd have an offensive line in a play-action game to protect him, and maybe he has a little bit left in the tank to make a one-year run like you're talking about. Maybe Cam Newton gets out of Carolina. I mean, Cam Newton in Dallas, that's another possibility right there. This offseason is so fascinating in terms of where all these quarterbacks are going. And I don't know what the first domino would be. And maybe it is a Brady domino or a Dak domino in terms of them, where they're going to end up going or the contracts not being worked out. But, you know, the with an offensive line like the Cowboys have in a running game, I think any quarterback, even aging, things don't work out for Brees in New Orleans. To go play in Dallas would be something I'd look forward to.
All right, thank you so much.
Let me say this. First of all, Max Kellerman, I got news for you. This is First Take. This is not General Hospital or Young and the Restless. Stop making us wait 10 minutes before you get to who you go tell us
the
guy quarterback.
Just say it, Max.
I'm sitting there like, who? This is not the Soaps, okay?
I
mean, you just wait. We see Teddy sitting there waiting. We sitting there waiting for Max Kellerman. Like, who you talking about, Max? Who you talking about? This ain't General Hospital or Young and the Restless. You ain't Sonny Corinthos or Vic that no man.
You were
stop
listening
it.
Like now. You were listening here's like deal, who's 22 Teddy and 12.
That, that, right. Listen, like who the hell is
I know I'm checking my phone exactly. Waiting for Max to say something.
Exactly. I'm saying, what the hell's going on? Hurry up. We want to hear who it is.
Did anyone but get you this, what I was going to say?
I said Tom
I knew
Brady.
Who it was like I said, Tom 1 minute into your
Tom Brady.
I said everybody.
Tom Brady only because Teddy Bruschi, Tom Brady, because we're talking about 1 year. We ain't talking about 2, 3, 4 years. Yeah. I think Tom Brady is better than Phillip Rivers. I think he has more in the tank than Max and others have given him credit for. I think last year you stripped him of his weapons. He ain't had anybody to throw the damn football to. That would not be the case in Dallas. I don't want to lose Dak. Please don't get, I don't want to lose Dak. But if Dak somehow got tired of being given a runaround by Jerry Jones and those boys, and they were stupid enough not to franchise him, and he let him walk away, and I had to go through this upcoming season, I would go with Tom Brady if I'm the Cowboys.
Yes, I don't believe they're that stupid. They're not that stupid, and Dak's not
I don't believe
anywhere.
It either. Yeah, yeah. I don't believe it either.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, ESPN News. I keep saying it. I will say it till I'm blue in the face. I'm going to laugh hysterically when Dak signs a mega deal with the Cowboys and we realize all this conversation was for nothing. Nobody but Dak's going to be the starting quarterback for the Cowboys this year. That's my belief. In the meantime, we're asking you, what should Myles Garrett's suspension have been now that it's been reduced to the point, well, I shouldn't say reduced. He's been reinstated into the NFL. And there's an interesting tweet that came in from Tequila. I think I'm pronouncing this properly. It says, when a baseball player intentionally throws a ball at another player, are they weaponizing it? 6 games was good enough. Here's my argument to that. This isn't the same. This is more the equivalent of if a baseball player ran at another baseball player with a bat in hand and swung it at him and connected. All right? So this to put this in perspective to your analogy, this feels like a batter ran at the pitcher, swung the bat, and made contact with his head. So, yeah, I think that 6 games, it would be substantially more drastic than that. And I'll again ask everybody, if the last name on the person that was hit with the head was Brady, my God, what would the reaction be? Keep tweeting me, at Jason Fitz. I want to know your thoughts. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We've heard a lot of First Take. We'll get your take on what Myles Garrett's suspension should have been. We'll do that. But first, before we get to your straight talk, let me give you some straight talk. You know what a full court press at basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with no holes. Well, that's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best network, same as the big carriers, but, you know, I love this, for a lot less. I'm frugal. For just $45 a month, you get the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data. Then 2G saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Best part, no contract. Full court coverage, half the cost. That's Straight Talk Wireless. Everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and condition at straighttalk.com. I want your Straight Talk next. What should Myles Garrett's suspension have been? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We'll get your take next on First Take, Your Take, ESPN Radio. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, SiriusXM, Channel 80. I'm Jason Fitz. If you've missed our discussion on Myles Garrett today, it's been great. Check out the entire show on demand in the First Take, Your Take podcast. Brought to you by the Capital One Saver Card. Earn 4% cash back on dining and entertainment, 2% at grocery stores, and 1% on all other purchases. What's in your wallet? Brian on Twitter has already come in. We've asked you guys to tell us, what should Myles Garrett's suspension have been? 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You can also tweet me at Jason Fitz. Brian said you're wrong about the baseball analogy. Someone said earlier it's like being hit from a pitch. I said it's like someone going after you with the bat. Said it'd be like a pitcher who throws a ball at a batter, then rushed home plate, and the batter in turn hits the pitcher with his bat. Either way you want to look at it, if a pitcher is running up to somebody and gets cold-cocked by a bat, just knocked on his butt and knocked out, what are we going to say? And again, we keep looking at this because Mason Rudolph is not a brand, and because Mason Rudolph didn't miss any long-term time, we want to turn around and make the action different. I won't do that. I mean, at the end of the day, he still hit him in the head. Rusty in Michigan, thanks for calling the show. We've heard a lot of First Take. I want your take. What should Myles Garrett's suspension have been?
Well, I agree with Stephen A. Smith. I thought that he should have another game in the beginning of the season because he bleeped up, you know, like, and he should be held accountable for that. But I really called because I wanted to get into the whole NBA conversation of entertaining.
Well, Rusty, I wish we had time. We're up against it, so we can't really change topics right now. Keep calling in, though. We'll get you. Let's go to Robbie in Texas. Robbie, what are your thoughts on the suspension?
My thoughts is it was just right. It was okay. Almost a half a season. And one thing I agree, I'm thinking is that, you know, Roger Goodell has been proven that he's hard-hearted to some of the guys that misbehave. So maybe Miles has been doing his therapy. He's been doing his, and he went in and Goodell had just a really good conversation with him. I mean,
and that's a really, really fair point. Let's remember, it's just a couple of days ago that Miles Garrett did go in and meet with the commissioner, and you're absolutely right. That's eye-opening. I haven't pointed that out. You definitely get a point there, because ultimately he went in and had that face-to-face, and that face-to-face has to mean something. Several people coming in, they don't like my baseball analogy. Sean said, if Miles Garrett's the one who actually provoked the contact and ran at Mason Rudolph, Miles was being pushed away. Again, I don't care. But then the other side of it is, people are pointing out how much damage that a pitch can do thrown at a batter's head. You're right. So can a hit. I mean, ultimately, that we're not talking about he went and just late hit him and pile drove him to the ground. That's more the normal play that we're used to seeing. We're talking about taking a helmet on and off and weaponizing it. We're talking about something we've never seen happen like this in a game. We've never seen somebody go in, take the helmet off, and then hit a quarterback in the face with it, right? Like, that's never happened. So no matter how many analogies we try to make, it's never happened before. That's why this is so drastic. Now, we know the precedent is 6 games. So again, I'll ask you, if we go into a game and your favorite team's quarterback is a bigger name, your favorite team's quarterback is a star, and somebody hits him in the face with the helmet, and they end up missing a bunch of times, well, or they end up missing a bunch of games, how are you going to feel about it? So we got another tweet here. The other thing, too, about Miles Garrett, maybe why I was only given the 6 and reinstated, he has had a positive reputation around the league. While an egregious act, he was one career blemish, for lack of a better word. Now, there were a couple other things that stood out from his record from last year, but you're right. I think the two things that we haven't taken into account is the body of work as a whole, and also, obviously, whatever happened from the meeting that we weren't a part of as he went in and talked to the commissioner. I think the most surprising thing to me through all of it is going to continue to be the timing of it. I can't make the timing of it make sense. Why reinstate him now? Maybe you've opened my eyes. Maybe it's just to get the conversation done with. Maybe it's just to get the conversation over with. But in the meantime, as the conversation ends, the NFL has to ask itself the most dangerous question through all of it. What's the precedent that's been set? Say what you want. We now know hitting a quarterback in the face with a helmet is a 6-game suspension. No matter what else we want to say, we know that. That is the most staggering statement to me that came out of Miles Garrett coming back. Will Cain Show coming up next. As always, if you missed any First Take, Your Take, check it out on the podcast. Appreciate you guys chiming in. We love the interaction. Thanks for hanging out with us. We'll see you tomorrow.